Good morning, listeners. Today we are continuing with the series, Lessons for Life from the Book of Daniel. Last week, we saw how Daniel and his three companions sought God in faith when facing an existential threat. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which he couldn't remember. He summoned all the Babylonian magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and fortune tellers to interpret his dream for him, but they could not. He issued a decree of death for them. Daniel and his companions were obviously not among the group when the king called on them to tell him the dream and its interpretation, but they were marked for death, as were the other wise men of Babylon. Daniel asked for time, sought the Lord in prayer, along with his three companions, and God revealed both the dream and its interpretation to Daniel. He was taken before the king to declare both dream and interpretation. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." Verse 27 to 28 of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel then went on to reveal the king's dreams and its interpretation in verse 29 to 45. In concluding, Daniel said, "The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure." Verse 45. The king was absolutely amazed with awe. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Verse 46 to 49. It took courage for Daniel to stand before a proud monarch like Nebuchadnezzar and announced to him that his empire would not long survive his death based on the dream and its interpretation. But Daniel was too loyal to his God to keep back the truth. The effect on the king was the reverse of that which naturally was to be expected. Instead of professing not to believe a word of the interpretation, he falls upon his face and worships Daniel, testifying to Daniel's superhuman wisdom. Only God could have produced such a change in the king. He also commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto Daniel. Daniel protested against this act. It's very clear from the words, "Then the king answered unto Daniel." The king acknowledged and gave testimony to the character of Daniel's God. We're not told about the effects the reproduction of the king's dream and its interpretation had upon the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, and Chaldeans. But they must have realized that they were not in Daniel's class, that what they professed, he possessed. Daniel's reward was twofold. He was made a great man. There are two things in this world that are supposed to make a man great. The first is riches, the second is power. Daniel received both. He was loaded with gifts and made a ruler over the province of Babylon and chief of the governors over the wise men. But Daniel did not forget his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in his exaltation. They had labored with him in seeking God in order to secure the information needed on the king's dream and its interpretation. And he was determined that they should share in his honors. He besought the king in their behalf. and they were given prominent offices, while Daniel sat in the king's gate, the place where councils were held and matters of great importance decided. What are the lessons for life from this portion of the book of Daniel that we have examined this morning? 1. The glory belongs to God. In Isaiah 42 verse 8, the Lord states, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." Daniel acknowledged God as the source of his wisdom. In no way did he state or even vaguely imply that he was responsible for the supernatural wisdom displayed in stating and interpreting the king's dream. The king, consequently, although moved by the fact of the interpretation and the revelation of the dream, honored Daniel, recognizing the supremacy and sovereignty of his God. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, and revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret." We must always give God the glory due unto him, and not seek to promote ourselves. To do otherwise is dangerous. It panders to human ego and pride. And the word of God expressly states, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 16 verse 18. Whatever we have was given to us, as the Apostle Paul states in a pointed question in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" The Apostle James tells us, without mincing words, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." James 4 and verse 10. The second lesson, we should acknowledge the contribution of others and seek to enhance their welfare. Daniel knew the power of prayer personally, but more so the power of united prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 18 verse 19, "Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." When faced with the possibility of death, along with the magicians, astrologers, soothsayers, and Chaldeans, Daniel called on his companions to join him in a united prayer to seek God's wisdom and revelation. We know the outcome of that effort. God came through mightily, enabling Daniel to receive the revelation of the king's dream and the wisdom to interpret it. The lesson here is potent. When Christians, Christ's followers, unite in prayer, prison walls come tumbling down, nations change direction, deliverance comes, and miracles happen. Daniel was totally selfless. He readily acknowledged the vital contribution of his companions by asking King Nebuchadnezzar to promote them as well when rewarding him. In this act, he recognized them for their partnership and vital roles in the success achieved. We were not meant to be loners. We need each other. United we stand, divided we fall is an old cliche, but it is ever true. The writer of Ecclesiastes states, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Verse 9 to verse 12. Is your life glorifying God? You can only give glory to God when you are living the way you were designed to live. This means having a right relationship with him, through acknowledging that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That acknowledgement and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior will transform your life and enable you to live a life that is pleasing to God. I challenge you this morning to give this most important decision more than a passing thought. You were meant to glorify God. God is most glorified when you fulfill your purpose. You can only fulfill that purpose when you give your life entirely to God. Next week, standing strong regardless of the consequences.